Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that are tuning in here on Facebook. We appreciate the participation. It's been a couple weeks since we've had Jack on because of different scheduling. Most of you know we try to do the show if we can every Thursday, depending on the schedule. And here we are in the middle of this pandemic. And first and foremost, I want to wish everybody well. I hope all those listeners and viewers and people out there that are downloading podcasts, I hope that you're staying safe and well. It's really quite a time to be living in the United States, that's for sure. But
it's you know, there's actually a way, Joe, I just discovered it, to say to Google, if you have one of those Google voice recognized devices, even your phone can do it. How many people have died? I probably can do it here if I turn on the Google thing. Okay, Google, how many people have died in the U.S. from coronavirus? Let's see if she comes back.
According to Wikipedia, as of July 2nd, 130,147 from coronavirus disease out of 2,741,841 total confirmed cases have been reported in the United States of America.
Boy.
And it puts up the number on the screen. That's that simple $50 device that acts like an assistant.
Right.
And if you do it, you can even ask it how many people say in Russia. So if I say, okay, Google, how about Russia?
According to Wikipedia, as of July 2nd, 9,683 deaths from coronavirus disease out of 661,165 total confirmed cases have been reported in Russia.
Wow.
Now, what you notice is I didn't even have to finish the sentence.
Right.
All I did was say, how about?
Interesting.
And it picked up the context. That's a major innovation in the way their voice recognition algorithm works. And in a way, it's a statement about how Google is really turning their knowledge base into something very, very effective for researchers or, like you, someone that's just digging out relevant information as you do a podcast. This is not on coronavirus, but it could apply to almost anything. And the topic we're going to talk about is litigation finance, which is really quite an explosive area right now.
Yeah. So I don't know if we did a podcast on it earlier a few months ago. I think we did. So yeah, get us kind of caught up on a quick backstory of it. And then, you know, where it's come and what kind of momentum it's gaining, it sounds like, over the last couple of months in general.
Right. So the background here is that historically, if we go way back to like the early 1900s, so go back 100 years, the law was absolutely against lawyers advertising, lawyers finding third parties to help finance cases, lawyers doing anything on a contingent fee. Even contingent fees were open to question because the view was lawyers should not be incentivized to pursue litigation. It's like the old Abraham Lincoln story of, if a party has a dispute, be a peacemaker. And that's still pretty important and a substantial role for lawyers, and a really a growing role for lawyers, because most cases can't afford to go to litigation.
Right.
What happened in about the 1980s, I'm not even sure it happened when I was in law school in the 1970s, but I want to, because I've been doing this now for 4+ decades. It's amazing how time flies. But, you know, when you think about it, about the 1980s, the U.S. Supreme Court, so literally about 60 years from what I'm describing 100 years ago, the Supreme Court said, you know, advertising is just information. Advertising is a First Amendment information delivery. Now, we know what you do on this podcast is not advertising. You do information.
Right.
But information provides people with some basis for judging whether you're competent, whether I'm competent, whether we know what we're talking about. And that's what people really want to buy when you're talking about a knowledge professional. They don't really want to buy some sort of prepackaged report. They want to buy access to your brain and your ability to analyze complex facts, whether it's financing, law, or something else.
Right.
So when you think about it, the Supreme Court said, why shouldn't lawyers advertise? We're going to let them advertise. Well, what that led to was advertisements that include some very, very questionable, some people would even call them tacky, billboards on freeways.
Yeah.
Late night advertising. Newspaper ads. Hey, have you been injured by, you know, pick a product that's out there that there isn't a class action case on. There's a lot of class action cases on a lot of different things that don't exactly work the way people would expect them to work.
That's where they coined the phrase ambulance chasers, right?
Well, ambulance chasers existed in the pre-advertising age, because how did they get clients? They showed up on the scene of the accident. Hey, you look like you're hurt. I'm a lawyer. I'm not soliciting you. I'm just telling you I'm a lawyer. No pitch, no nothing. I'm a lawyer. You figure it out whether you want help.
So that really happened? That used to happen?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, think about it. Well, what's the other way it would happen? Lawyers would hire, if we go back 100 years, lawyers would hire savvy secretaries. What would the secretaries do? I'm going to tell my buddy about you. I'm going to tell my relatives about you. It was word of mouth advertising. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't mass media because that was the time barely of the radio. The TV was not yet out there. I guess there were billboards back then, but people didn't use them for legal services. They used them to sell, you know, copper tone suntan lotion. You look great, by the way. You look like you had a great tan there.
I don't know if you're using copper tone.
But let me just go at this point. People had offices that really the secretaries were both workers and they were marketeers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have a law office, a physical law office, as some of us still do, even with the COVID-19, we still have an office, we still operate out of an office. When you hired, you asked the person, how do you feel about word of mouth? Because that person's got to be able to feel good about telling others about you. And that's still true today. The business card is still relevant today. And most lawyers who don't get business cards don't believe that. But I have to tell you, I think if you spent no money on anything other than a business card and gave them to your people saying, look, if you have a friend and he's got some issue, give him a business card. I'm not soliciting. Just give him a business card. It doesn't say anything. All it says is my name and number if he wants to call. That was the line that was drawn. The line that was drawn was they got to call you. You can't call them. Now, the exception was made that you could always call another lawyer because the lawyer could fend for themselves. So there were and still are lawyers that literally do call other lawyers for work or do call them saying, hey, I'm not busy. If you have a case or something you need help on, that happens all the time.
Okay.
It just isn't well advertised. So now let's fast forward. Yeah. Now we're in an era where people are starting to advertise.
Right.
Lawyers are getting cases. Maybe they're getting a lot of cases. How do they get the work done? A lot of these cases are contingent fee cases. They're not cases where there can be an hourly fee. The person that's been injured has no money. They're out of work. They need a lawyer who's going to stand for them without getting paid for maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Wow.
But lawyers turned, the first set were the successful lawyers turned to banks. And the bank said, oh, you're a business. Yeah, you're a law firm, but you're also a business. You have a big docket of cases. Your track record is pretty good. We'll give you a line of credit. By the way, you probably have to sign a guarantee. You probably have to agree maybe to put up some security, but we'll give you a line of credit. And most bigger law firms, in fact, have substantial banking lines of credit. Now, when those law firms fail, as some of them do quickly, it's because they can't meet the obligations of the bank.
Good.
The bank is not supposed to control the law firm. The bank is supposed to be just a financial partner. What if you're a small law firm? Small law firms don't necessarily get the same respect as bigger firms because bigger firms are viewed as having some longevity. Whereas small law firms, hey, the talent walks out the door. If it gets hit by a bus, that's it. It could be over. Even a small law firm could lose a couple of partners, and that could be the end of the game for the law firm. So banks are a little more leery about loaning to a small law firm. So what's the big innovation that happened about 10, 15 years ago? Venture capitalists, which you could say were more like private equity people, they turned around and they said, we're going to create a fund for funding litigation cases from law firms that we respect. So they went out and found the top 10, 20% law firms that are doing contingent fee cases. And they said, let us be your non-recourse bank.
Mm.
No bank line of credit, Joe. You understand this. This is a big distinction.
Right.
This is, we will look at your case or cases, plural, hopefully cases, plural, and we will be like your financial partner. But you're going to have to really let us start looking at the details of the case, because we're essentially betting with you that the case will turn out to not be a dog. And there are cases, sometimes clients misrepresent things, sometimes clients don't tell you all the facts, sometimes the facts are different than what the clients understand, sometimes a surprise witness, a million different things happen to change an election and to change a horse race,
right?
Dog race. It's the same principle. There's sort of a bet. I mean, right now they're saying that Biden is like 14 or 15% ahead of Trump.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so I don't know how many people are really betting on that. I mean, I don't know how many people would risk betting on that, because things can change rapidly. As we know, Trump was the underdog going into the 2016 election.
Right.
People thought for sure he was going to flame out even in his own party, even in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the modern view? The modern view is the email I sent you. One of these venture firms, really kind of a private equity fund, has now decentralized the way to invest into this type of investment by putting it on the web and saying to people who qualify, how would you like a slice of this case? It's an individual case. It's not a portfolio.
Uh-huh.
It's one case. And they give a description of the case over electronic mail. So in effect, it's saying to people, there's a lawsuit that a plaintiff has filed that a plaintiff's lawyer thinks is worthy, because typically the plaintiff's lawyer is either on a full or partial contingent fee.
Uh-huh.
And you, as an investor, can loan money to that law firm to use to pay the experts, because experts typically are not allowed to take contingent fees.
Uh-huh.
They must be paid based on their hourly rate, else they're viewed as being too biased. They're supposed to be somewhat neutral. We all know that that's not true, but that's the current ethical line.
Okay.
Experts must be paid based on their hourly rate and their time, and no bonus, no deferred fee, no nothing.
Right.
That's a whole nother subject we can deal with at a different time, whether that's even going to change. But now we've got these apps that essentially say to people that want to diversify their portfolio, because what's the bank right now if you put your money in a bank? 1%, half of 1%,
terrible. Yeah.
4.1%.
Yeah, terrible.
So people are looking for alternative fixed investments.
Yeah.
And typically these deals are like, if the case is won, you're going to get a minimum of 10% with maybe a bonus payment of up to an additional 15%. So you might get as much as 25%, a higher percent if the money's not returned soon enough. So they're typically at least 1 year. But they can go as long as 3 years. And if they go 3 years, you get a higher percent based on the return of the case. So it's like you're kind of at the casino, but with a fixed kind of deal. It's not an equity deal. It's a percentage based on a loan that you're making against the file with a variable rate, almost like a credit card rate.
So can you conceivably lose all that money?
You could conceivably lose all the money, because the benefit for the law firm is there's no personal guarantee.
Oh,
it's not recourse. You could think of the lawsuit is now being put inside of an LLC, and the LLC is becoming the debtor that must pay based on the performance of that one asset.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that one asset is just one lawsuit. It's not like 50 or 100 lawsuits. So you do have to do the due diligence on how do you feel about the case. How do you feel about whether there's insurance coverage. How do you feel about the underlying assets? Because sometimes the fight is over a piece of real estate.
Yeah.
You can judge that real estate based on the current market, based on a post-COVID-20 market. I mean, I don't know if we're going to have a huge number of additional COVID cases. Some people say that's in progress, that there's some form of COVID-20 now, not just COVID-19. That's going to affect real estate. That is affecting real estate. I think at the top end, it's affected real estate. I don't know at the bottom end. I don't know if you can get a condo these days in San Jose for less than $300,000 or $400,000, right?
No, not even, can't even do that yet. I know it's affecting commercial. The question is how will it affect residential? Yeah, right.
I mean, right now, it doesn't look like it's really hammered the bottom end.
Right.
It looks like the bottom end is staying. But at the top end, you see things where prices are changing, you know, $5, $6, $7, $8 million properties. They're dropping $500,000 here, $500,000 there. You're seeing that.
Yeah. Is there a typical law firm that is more suitable for something like this, Jack, versus others? Or does it risk? I mean, who would be, what type of law firms, or is it across the board who might take on this type of program where they're taking on investors for these types of clients and these types of programs?
Well, let me say both things are happening. Number one is the law firms are interested in providing their clients with a financial alternative to borrowing money. Because you could even be a client that has money and you say, I don't want to risk the money. Let's say you're a business client and you've got a good case, but you say, I just don't want to risk my flow of receivables. I need to pay my employees. I need to buy inventory. Go do this collection based on a percentage deal and find me some financing for the expert witnesses, and I'll give some added percentage to the financier. So the law firms are interested in providing that, but these equity funds that are running these programs, they're actively on the phone calling the lawyers up.
Wow.
They're actively going down a list. They buy lists, and they have banks of people. I get these calls all every day of the week. Hey, you're one of the top 1% lawyers that tries cases, takes appeals, you're a certified appellate specialist, you're a NIDA qualified, certified, blah, 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 trial advocate. We want you in our stable. Can we give you a line of credit? Can you take $10 million from us? I'm like, you know, I don't want to take $10 million from you. But they're like, you know, we want to deploy capital. We have the money. We have European investors that want higher percentage. We have Asian investors. We have U.S. investors. This, by the way, is open to almost any type of investor that is otherwise qualified to make an investment that is theoretically speculative. But on a scale, it's not that speculative. I mean, if I said to you, do you know what the highest, the thing I heard recently was the highest returning investment class over the last 10 years?
What?
We always think about this in the abstract, and we say real estate or S&P 500. It's actually very, very high-end vintage antique cars.
Really?
Yes, like 1964 Camaro.
Okay.
The Europeans want those cars. 1968 Pontiac Firebird. If they're in excellent condition, they've been totally restored. Those cars, they originally cost like $5,000 or $4,000 bucks back in the day.
Those cars smart enough to keep those.
They're going for $150,000 today, Joe. One, five, zero.
I had a 68 Camaro. I had an El Camino and a couple of these other ones. But who would ever thought, right, if you'd have kept them to this day?
I am telling you that, like, literally the muscle cars
and
a whole other class of cars. And there are people that literally now invest in antique cars and then buy and sell them on Meacham and a bunch of auction sites. Because they've turned that into like a reality TV show to watch all the bidding going on.
Yeah.
And the bidding is unbelievable. You see stuff, you say, I had that car. I had a 64 Camaro. I had that $150,000 car. Of course, where do you store it?
Yeah.
For the last 50 plus years, right?
Yeah.
Where do you put it?
Yeah.
But in general, what I would say is that if you look at what's happening in the world of finance, the internet has opened up much more optionality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Much more, many, many different ways in which you can get financed. And it doesn't require you to sign a personal guarantee. It doesn't require you. It's actually non-recourse financing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of lawyers are only now coming to realize that more and more clients are taking notice of this and are shopping for law firm services with financing. It's like what we've been talking about with real estate.
Yeah.
There are some people that are saying, why don't you rent the house from me first? Mm-hmm. And then you'll buy the house from me a couple of years from now,
right?
Because I'm going to essentially watch as you qualify for your loan,
right?
And you show me that you can pay the monthly mortgage expense that's wrapped into your rent deal.
Right. So what's the investor profile? Or again, is it across the board? Do you have institutional? Do you have individuals? Do you have people putting together investor groups that come in and make these offers, or do you know the makeup of several of these?
I think most of it is right now institutional, but it's becoming more decentralized. Okay. You know, there actually are a couple of public companies that do this type of financing. They're on the Australian stock market. In Australia, it's viewed as completely legitimate. In the US, there's still a certain smell to it. Like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Are you inspiring more litigation? We don't want more litigation.
Yeah, right.
A number of judges have said, look, let's just do a reality check. To try a case through appeal in a large business case or a large intellectual property case, it's not even six figures anymore. It's seven figures.
Mm-hmm.
Seven figures of professional time, maybe six figures of expert witness and other third-party cost centers, like just getting the documents arranged and organized and copied and scanned and indexed. It's a big undertaking.
Right.
And so you have to have money to finance that. It's not all on contingent fee. And so there, this role of people that are providing this financing becomes more and more important over time.
Interesting. So is that something you think you would do?
Well, I keep getting these pitches, and I swear I keep getting them. I keep wondering, will there be a good test case? Because I don't. Yeah. I want to use a test case where it's a neutral outcome, regardless of win, lose, or draw.
Right.
I don't want to use a test case where you say, boy, I wish I knew, because you always learn something in the process. You know, if I said, let's go on a long hike, and you say, I never did that before. I never did that. And I say, I never did it either. Let's go on the Appalachian Trail. We're going to discover a lot of stuff on that Appalachian Trail that is not going to match what we've done out here in California.
Right, right.
And we're going to say, like, wow, I wish we knew how muddy it was at this point, or wish we knew how cold it got at this elevation. It's like a good friend of mine, I'm going to drag him on the show. He did a bicycle ride from the West Coast, San Francisco, to the East Coast over like a 40-day period with a group. Wow. With a group. Of course, the group starts falling off. Yeah. Over time, because, you know, different people can't make it. Yeah. He said, you learn a lot during those 40 days about how big this country really is and how big certain states in this country really are and how windy they are. Because you're trying to get across against a headwind. They don't tell you about that when they talk about the brochure of seeing sunrises and watching sunsets. It's all beautiful and rosy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like walks on the beach and the water's perfect temperature. It's quite a different deal when you have to do it. So I'm looking for the right test case, and I will pick a test case at some point. We'll do another show about what's the reality of this, because there are nuances, and there's definitely a lot of fine print about how it works in reality. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, we have a couple minutes left here.
Yeah.
To before we wrap up this, we know there's going to be a lot of litigation, a lot of lawsuits, you know, in and around this whole COVID-19 thing. Who knows to what degree and to what level? What type of attorneys handle those specifically, or can any, what would be the, you know, does that make sense? What type of attorney would handle a lot of these potential lawsuits for businesses or individuals? Maybe, you know, I got sick, you told me it was safe, I got this. Is that personal injury?
Yeah, it's personal injury, but it's actually becoming like a whole specialty in and of itself.
Uh-huh.
So there's class action lawyers that are going after the big fish. There's even a few that have gone after China.
Right.
Yeah. Literally after China. I mean, think of that. The Chinese are going to have to defend themselves. The Chinese have a lot of assets in the U.S., so it's not as crazy as it sounds.
Yeah.
And it may actually be the big whale story of 2021 or 2022 by the time the cases go through the courts. But on the small individual cases, like against a landlord who doesn't clean up their property, or against an employer who doesn't make sure the office is cleaned up or sanitized.
Following the protocol and all that, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. You know, I saw something on the market. I thought, I should buy a few of these. You don't touch the door anymore. You put this little ring on your finger, and you press things, and you pull things. It's like they're giving you little ways to say, don't touch anything anymore. And like the new handshake's going to be, you have this little ring thing, I have this little ring thing, and we touch the ring thing to each other. You know, maybe eventually it'll like beep or light up to say, you know, we're now tracing that you've been next to this person. And if something goes wrong, this is a little bit like having a venereal disease or an STD or something. Oh, yeah, I was near Joe, and Joe was sick, and he was sneezing, and my little recorder noted that there was some action happening between us. We were not within 6 feet, or we were closer than 6 feet. Yeah. So I think there's going to be a lot of stuff that goes across the board. We already have a couple of cases pending where a landlord's refusing to be reasonable about what happens with, say, an elevator. That people don't want to get into elevators because they view them as potential death traps.
Interesting.
So we're going to see a lot of litigation, Joe, and it's certainly going to be probably the next big set of stories about how judges and juries try to figure out a fair line for what's reasonable behavior versus what's unreasonable behavior. Yeah.
So what do you, where do you see, as we wrap it up, where do you see the litigation finance just continuing to grow any even more?
I think we're going to see a lot of people moving some of their pension money on the view that it's a better return than, say, the stock market. Even though the stock market's been booming, for a lot of small folks, the stock market is not really an alternative. It's too risky. Whereas the view of getting a fixed rate return with an enhanced bonus to it in a case that someone's rooting for, it almost has sort of social aspects to it.
Yeah.
So there's going to be big cases against like social media players where they're going to have to defend, and people are going to sort of say, hey, I believe in the cause, so I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. So you're going to see that play out as well.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap it up, let everybody know how they could reach you and what you and your law firm specialize in.
Well, I got my computer law group.
Oh, look at that.
I dug this out of an old closet saying, hey, we should put this on the air. We're a computer law group, as the mug says, www.computerlaw. Doesn't have that on it. We got to add that. We're the lawyers for the digital economy. We have offices in Palo Alto, and we have an office in Los Angeles now, Joe. So we've expanded.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, and I've got a you know, separate address and a separate phone number. Okay. And we have offices in San Francisco, but the main number is 650-327-9800. And of course, you can reach me by email, jack@computerlaw.com. And the website, of course, is computerlaw.com. That's where most people come in through the website, and then they either call or email from there.
Right. So are you still considering the kind of the way the economy and business has turned a little upside down, you still staying pretty busy?
Yeah, we're staying busy because big firms are not being as responsive as we are.
Okay.
Big firms are like, we don't know if people are staying. We don't know if they're leaving. They don't want to take the cases that they view as not having a big enough profile. So they're like, you know, associates, you know, there's a big, big change that's happening in the law firm environment, in what might be called the large, big law environment, because a lot of associates are getting cut because the view is you don't want to come to an office. We don't know if you're really accountable. Right. So they're basically chopping a lot of associates. I can't tell you how many resumes unsolicited have come to me from big firm lawyers who are saying in so many words, look, I got to find another position. My firm is not going to keep me. I'm definitely not making partner because the partnership ranks shrink as well.
Right.
Makes over sense. Time. Because people start to say, hey, we don't know what the future is. Maybe there's no need for an office.
Yeah.
Maybe there's no need for a big firm anymore. Whereas when they come to us, they know we've been here for 40 years. We're not going anywhere. We own our own building in downtown Palo Alto.
Yeah.
You know, we're here for the duration. So they call and they say, hey, you pick up the phone, you actually respond. I can get a meeting set up, at least a virtual meeting by Zoom or WebEx or Skype. So we're actually seeing quite a bit of growth.
Very good. Well, good catching up, Jack. Have a happy 4th. And we'll hopefully catch up next week for another topic.
I look forward to it, Joe. Thanks for having me.
All All right. Take care.
Have a good night.
Yeah, bye-bye. You
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.